Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Today's discussion concerns the Southern African Development Community's gender protocol and its contributions for women. So we'll be discussing its formation, how it has developed. Our guests today are Mrs. Magdalene Matiba Madibela, the head of Southern African Development Community Gender Unit, and she's joining us on the line from Botswana, and Ms. Ntombi Imbatliana from GenderLinks South Africa. Let me introduce them. Ms. Magdalene Matiba Madibela is the pioneer and initiator of the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development, which was signed by the SADC heads of states at their summit held in Johannesburg, South Africa in 2008. She has worked for the Southern African Development Community as head of gender since 2005. She has extensive work experience in gender equality and equity, women's empowerment, and human rights issues. Her current work focuses mainly on gender mainstreaming, regional integration, policy development, harmonization, women's empowerment, institutional capacity building, partnerships, advocacy, and lobbying. Additionally, she is a graduate from the University of Nottingham in the UK with a master's degree in social policy and administration, specializing in gender studies. Ms. Ntombi Imbatliana is the Gender Justice and Local Government Country Manager for GenderLinks South Africa. Previously, she worked for the provincial government of the Western Cape in the Department of Social Development. She is a researcher, facilitator, and gender activist with qualifications in social science. She holds a degree in Women and Gender Studies, as well as an honours degree obtained at the University of Western Cape, majoring in Social Sciences and Anthropology, English and Humanities. And she's studying towards completing her MA degree in Women and Gender Studies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Perhaps let's start with the Southern African Development Community. It was established in 1980. And is an intergovernmental organization headquartered in Gaborone, Botswana. And its goal is to further socioeconomic cooperation and integration, as well as political and security cooperation amongst 15 member states, which I believe are Angola, Botswana, Democratic Republic of Congo, Lesotho, Madagascar, Malawi, Mauritius, Mozambique, Namibia, Seychelles, South Africa, Swaziland, Tanzania, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. With SADC, you have a number of different protocols which are developed for its operationalization, the gender protocol being one of them. Ms. Matiba Madibela, if you could please talk us through the formulation of the SADC gender protocol as you were instrumental in its development.
As you indicated, the SADC protocol on gender and development is a key legally binding instrument for guiding and providing member states for a clear framework for the empowerment of women to eliminate discrimination and to achieve gender equality and equity here in Southern Africa. The SADC Protocol on Gender and Development seeks to harmonize the implementation of the various instruments, both at international and continental level. As you are aware, SADC is a party to quite a number of international and continental instruments. So the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development is more of a one-stop shop of all these key instruments. The protocol was adopted in 2008. I must say this is one of the groundbreaking milestones for Southern Africa in terms of gender and development. As you may be aware, the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development is the only regional protocol in the whole entire world. We truly believe that it is an important catalyst for women's empowerment in Southern Africa.
Well, it sounds a bit beyond just being a Southern African phenomenal institution and development as a protocol, but something which would also lead as serving as an example of best practice in terms of gender development in the rest of the globe.
Oh, yes, indeed. We truly believe that it's a best practice. We really believe that this will really, at SADC level, push to deepen regional integration. We are better positioned to actually monitor and evaluate the progress that we are making towards gender equality and women's empowerment. And other regions or other regional economic communities can learn a lot.
6 years is really a very short time frame of being in existence. Can you tell us about the entities that were involved and who provided input towards the conceptualization of the protocol?
Oh, that is a very interesting process. As you may be aware, in 2005, when Summit was reviewing the implementation of the SADC Declaration on Gender and Development, Summit decided that it's 2005, and we only had one target in the declaration that spoke to the 30% achievement of women in politics and decision-making. Summit said, look, we haven't done much in this area. Maybe it's because we only have just a declaration, which is merely a set of commitments or guidelines, by member states. We probably now need a more legally binding document. So Summit directed the Secretariat to lead a process towards the drafting of a SADC protocol on gender and development. By 2006, we had a draft. Partners in the region came together, civil society organizations, we came around the table. We came up out of that meeting with a very clear roadmap as to how we want to engage on the drafting and where we want to go and also who we want to involve. So member states were brought together for consultations as well. Civil society partners were a critical part of this process. And that is why I always say the difference with the SADC protocol on gender and development is that the process of its crafting was highly inclusive. The voices of the women of Southern Africa are truly represented in this document.
And when someone has a stakeholder contribution, that stands to serve them?
Oh yes, definitely, because inputs were brought together from all the key stakeholders such that the views and the concerns, the real issues, the real needs of the women of Southern Africa were echoed directly to the consultation process and also to the drafting of this document. So that is why I'm saying it really represents the issues of the people.
Well, it sounds like it was an incredible challenge to document and to take in that collective input from over 15 member states in conjunction with all the various civil society partners that were involved in the process.
Oh yes, the process was very cumbersome. We submitted the first draft to Council of Ministers and Summit in 2007 in Lusaka, Zambia. And I want to tell you that by the time the protocol got signed in 2008, quite a number of compromises were made. The initial draft was significantly watered down, but I'm happy to say that nevertheless, the protocol is still very strong and holds very strong commitments for member states to implement.
And obviously now we have a document which is legally binding by having that protocol to legally bind certain parameters across the SADC region.
Oh yes, I'm happy to say that 13 SADC member states signed the Protocol on Gender and Development on the 19th of August 2008. Currently we have 11 of those who signed who have ratified and deposited their instruments of ratification with SADC Secretariat. And I'm also glad to say that the protocol has entered into force as of 2013. So although the protocol was signed in 2008, it took quite a bit of time to get all the required ratifications for the protocol to enter into force. However, member states have really been committed to this process. In 2009 already, we collected a baseline from member states to say, really, before the protocol enters into force, where are we as a region monitoring in terms of all the key provisions of the protocol before we start implementing the protocol? And now that the protocol has entered into force, we'll continue to monitor progress accordingly. And I'm happy to say that in 2013 also, we produced yet another report tracking progress on the implementation of the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development, with special focus on governance. As you know, most member states this year had to go for elections. We're talking here about South Africa, Malawi, Namibia, and Botswana are also coming. We really wanted to say, as a region, where are we? And which countries are doing really well? So essentially, this instrument continues to keep us on the ground. And I'm aware that civil society is doing quite a lot in monitoring progress, and they've started producing the SADC gender barometer, and my colleague will talk about that more fluently than I can. Mm-hmm. But just to say, we work together as key stakeholders on gender and development. Civil society organizations have vested interests on realizing the implementation of the protocol on gender and development. That's why we have what we call the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development Alliance. That, again, is a best practice.
Well, let's probe that a little further in our next phase of the discussion. Thank you very much for taking us through the formulation of the SADC Gender Protocol. And we will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the United Nations Goodwill Ambassador on Malaria in Africa. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. We're talking Southern African Development Community Gender Protocol with Ms. Magdalene Matiba Madibela, the head of the Southern African Development Countries Gender Unit. And she's joining us on the line from Botswana. And in studio, we are with Ms. Ntombi Imbadliana, who is with GenderLinks Southern Africa. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. We have just been talking about the formulation of the SADC Gender Protocol, and now we're moving forwards in terms of aspects of its implementation. We've discussed how we had a baseline formation in terms of how countries were progressing with development and how the protocol entered into force in 2013. So perhaps, Ms. Mbadliana, if I can turn to you in terms of the implementation aspects of gender protocols on the ground. GenderLinks does work across multiple countries in the region. Mm-hmm. If you can talk about how it's being implemented and what some of those monitoring aspects are.
In terms of the work that we're doing around the SADC Gender Protocol, as you've indicated, we are a regional NGO. And one of our best practices has been to implement the SADC Gender Protocol on the ground through our programs and looking at one of our best practices, which would be the Gender Protocol Summit, where we would encourage stakeholders, local government, NGOs, to look at the targets, which are the 28 targets of the SADC Gender Protocol, and see which targets those institutions or civil society organizations have been implementing. For now, as alluded earlier on to yourself by, and also by Magdalene, we have an alliance which is basically a network of networks. It's a coalition of civil society organizations based within the SADC region. Each alliance or each theme or cluster is responsible for a particular aspect of the protocol. So, for example, at GenderLinks, we do a lot of work in terms of holding governments accountable in terms of the protocol, issues of gender and governance, issues of gender-based violence, what are local government institutions doing about increasing the number of women who are politicians on the ground, what are institutions doing around issues of decreasing gender-based violence. So we have a lot of work that we are doing on the ground and looking at how do we take the protocol to the ground and ensure that people on the ground and our stakeholders know about what it is about and how do we hold certain responsibilities and accountability to whoever has to help us to monitor it.
So do you do that through the summits, through workshops? How do you get that message across?
We do it through various platforms. The core program at GenderLinks that grounds the SADC Gender Protocol is called the Alliance Program. It's looking at what are institutions around the region doing around pushing the SADC Gender Protocol.
You mentioned that there are different clusters, so
each
member of the alliance takes care of a specific cluster within the protocol.
Yes.
Can you list some of those clusters?
There's the Women in Law Society, which is WILSA. GenderLinks is looking at the issues of gender and governance. But I think the most important thing is that the alliance has been very vocal and very strong, especially in countries where they have signed the protocol and are a signatory, to hold governments accountable for implementation.
I understand with GenderLinks you issue a barometer that happens
yes.
on an annual basis, and that seems to track and evaluate progress in these various areas.
Yes, the barometer is actually sort of like our guideline or our tracking system where it is reviewed every year to collect data from countries that are signatories to the SADC Gender Protocol, to find out from them what case studies have been done, what best practices have been done, what legal frameworks are being implemented. If there are any existing ones, have those ones been updated in order to see how far are we with achieving certain targets of saying, for example, we need to reduce levels of gender violence by 50% by 2015. So how far are we in certain countries? And issues of representation. So the barometer is like a gauge that'll tell us how far are we from meeting these targets.
And Ms. Madibele, you mentioned that 11 countries had ratified the agreements. Mm. Which are those countries?
Oh, the countries that have ratified the protocol are Angola, Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, Seychelles, United Republic of Tanzania, South Africa, Swaziland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. The implementation of the protocol are centered mainly around the provisions of the protocol, which are mainly constitutional and legal rights. Hmm. Under there, we're looking at the situation of constitutional rights at country level, domestic legislation, issues around accessing justice, marriage and family rights, and their status, as well as widows and widows' rights and the girls' rights. The other section is on governance. It's about ensuring equal representation of men and women in all decision-making, as well as political positions. And we're measuring progress around issues of representation and participation.
And you'd mentioned earlier that we were looking at 30% representation and participation of women.
We are now seeking 50%. 30% is an old target.
And that's what I wanted to check with you, because
it seems
that we're moving forward.
50-50 gender parity. And
Excellent. That
is where we should be leading to, really. And we have actually noted quite a number of regressions across the region in representation, which is a big concern. We cannot afford to regress in this area.
And which aspects have you found that regression?
Particularly at parliament level in South Africa also, we've experienced slight decline. In Malawi is a huge decline, and we know that previously in Namibia during their local government we also experienced a decline, as well as Lesotho. So what we're saying is, look, we cannot afford to lose on the gains that we have actually consolidated over the years. Let us safeguard these and really go forward to achieve 50-50, because the target is actually by 2015.
Yes, which
is very close.
Very close. We're 6 months away. And what are some of the achievements that we can attribute to the SADC Gender Protocol? I know that it's only been enforced since 2013, but what are some of those achievements? Is it too early to tell?
It's not too premature to tell, but I can quickly run through in line with the provisions. On constitutional rights, most member states really have actually been very, very prudent in ensuring that constitutional provisions to ensure gender equality are included. And recently we've had member states reviewing their constitutions, such as Zimbabwe, Zambia. With the recent review of constitutions, more member states will continue to improve on gender equality. Gender-based violence is one issue that we are terribly concerned about. However, on a positive light, I must say member states in the region have really, really gone an extra mile to put in place legislation and policy specifically to deal with gender-based violence, including issues around sexual violence, domestic violence, sexual harassment, and even trafficking in persons. Unfortunately, we seem to have a huge gap between, legislation, policy, and practice. Implementation seems to be a challenge because gender-based violence in our region is on the increase. And as we know, the majority of the victims are women.
What factors can we attribute to the increase?
There are quite a number of dynamics. As we know, our region is developing both economically and politically. And the changes, the cultural challenges that men face when women develop, and economically and otherwise, issues around gender roles and responsibilities, those things are changing significantly.
It's social tensions in terms of as we change.
Social tensions are growing as a matter of fact. because of the dynamics, the changes that we as a region continue to face. A whole lot of other, you know, contributing factors. So really, member states must put in place robust programs that are contextualized from country to country to deal more effectively with violence. We need more prevention programs that are targeted, that are effective, that work. We also need to see more effort around our support services to victims in a more integrated approach in line with the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development.
And Ms. Mbatliana, you mentioned that part of the work that Gender Links does is a focus on gender-based violence.
Mm.
What programs are you running as a civil entity?
At the moment, we've got a program at Gender Links, which is the justice program. We have been working and doing baseline studies, surveys in a few of the countries. We've done some in Zambia, Zimbabwe. We've done in South Africa, in four of the provinces in South Africa, to try to find out what are some of the issues that affect women being victims of violence, men being the main perpetrators. And we've also done the study now starting in Lesotho. And some of the factors are related to what Magdalene just highlighted as well, cultural, economic, social. But at the same time, what we've been trying to do a lot with our work is to hold workshops with community members. For example, if there's a local chief, if there's a Induna within the rural areas where we're doing our work, we would do a workshop, which is the SADC Gender Protocol Village Workshops, which will take a section of the protocol which will look at the GBV specifically. And we will have it a workshop.
So that's gender-based violence?
Yes, just a gender-based violence. And we start to have a conversation with them, because what we find is that in most of these areas where we've been working, the violence is not happening in the public sphere. It's happening in our private homes. Mm-hmm. And when the violence and the perpetration is happening at home, very often there's a lot of things that are not discussed. So we're trying to do community dialogues as well, where we have various stakeholders, including our community leaders, to issue and to talk about this aspect of GBV, because like Magdalene is highlighting, that's the one area that we're not seeming to make much impact on.
And in these dialogues and workshops that you're having, I'm assuming that these are interactions between both men and women, so they
yes.
look towards a gender mainstreaming perspective.
Yes, because what the work that we try to do, particularly within our programs, we target women and men. We look at institutions such as local government that work with our communities, providing access to people such as water, sanitation, things like that. It's about functions that the municipality are supplying, which is, you know, infrastructural development. But we're trying to say to them, think about it in a gendered perspective. So, for example, think about when you're going to be setting up these structures, who will benefit from these resources, women and men, and think about the safety issues as well. But what we do find sometimes, unfortunately, is that when we have the dialogues, it's always mostly women who come. The men don't always see it as an issue, and that's why we try now to target the Indunas, the chiefs, the, you know, the men who are the ones who are in charge, because if we can try to get them to understand the concept of the work that we are doing, then it's easy for their subjects or the men around in the community.
So to direct it as from a source of leadership within
yes.
the community, who has the credibility and the sway to communicate
yeah.
the message.
Yeah.
And all key stakeholders are very important here, especially at national level.
Yeah.
According to our reports, even the service providers themselves, particularly the law enforcement officers, do not have the key specific skills that are required to deal with gender-based violence. That is why there's a lot of under-reporting, because women really don't have the confidence to go to a policeman who will start trivializing her issue or concern. So as Secretariat, we've also gone a step ahead to collaborate with SARPCO. SARPCO is the Southern African Police Commission. We are training all police colleges in Southern Africa on how to handle gender-based violence in a more gender-responsive way.
You've initiated a lot of programs and collaborations that are happening with government bodies, with social bodies, and civil society across the continent.
Across the region.
Well, the region, yes, across the region in terms of our Southern African development community.
The whole idea of collaborations and partnerships really is to ensure that we build up on solid institutional mechanisms that can push the agenda forward in a multidimensional way, you know, to reach the people. Because as Secretariat, our role is mainly to facilitate and to coordinate, to develop policies and to develop frameworks, and also to monitor. So partnerships is really key for us to realize the aspirations of the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development.
Well, it sounds like the network element and having those partnerships is the route to go in terms of being able to deliver on implementation, because it's a formidable task to go through the numerous articles and have one body responsible for it.
Absolutely. As you know, at government level, we have ministries responsible for gender and women's affairs in every country in Southern Africa. So as SADC Secretariat, those are our first point of contact. And they do have gender policies, they do have action plans, and we provide support to them to really facilitate implementation and coordinate action on the ground. And we always say, look, member states, you cannot do everything alone as governments. You need to work with civil society, research institutions, and other key stakeholders on the ground so that we can really, really succeed in this formidable task.
Media practitioners as well.
Including media practitioners,
stakeholders, exactly.
Community leaders, politicians, you know, law enforcement officers, not only the police, but the lawyers, the attorney generals, all the people who make decisions on the ground. Mm. So essentially, partnerships is the answer to taking deliverables to the people.
Yeah.
Ms. Mbadliana, you'd mentioned media practitioners. Mm. How do you see that going forwards in terms of television, radio, print media, having the correct representation of women or talking more about women's issues?
I think it's more an issue of both talking about more of women's issues but also hearing women's voices. We also work with media houses and newspapers. In Mauritius, we have a very good best practice with the Mauritian Broadcast Corporation, MBC, where in terms of the stories that journalists are reporting, they've got a gender balance. With also in terms of representation with senior management and executive management, we're finding women at that executive level. But also what we're trying to do is looking at media as a source to say, in terms of representation of women and women's sources, we tend to see men's voices coming out stronger all the time. And what we're trying to do also with looking at what the protocol also enforces is that we try to actually say the media has a very big role to play. And the way that they report stories and the way that women are put across, there needs to be a balance between women and men, because the media has a lot of influence.
Absolutely in line with the Protocol on Gender and Development.
Yeah, yeah.
Gender must be mainstreamed in all information, communication and media policies. Yeah. Media-related bodies also must mainstream gender in their codes of conduct and policies and even procedures. And over and above that, the media houses themselves must promote equal representation of women in the ownership of and decision-making structures. Mm. But over and above all, media has a very big voice. So gender equality and women's empowerment is very key in the media. So the media fraternity is very, very strategic as a partner for ensuring gender equality.
Well, media has an extremely high level of consumption, whether that is in the print side, whether it is broadcast. And consumers are consuming media on a regular basis, and it forms part of how you relate to society, what is projected, and it forms your ideologies.
Mm. Absolutely. So that's why the media is instrumental in giving equal voice, dignity to women and men in all areas of their coverage.
Well, Well, thank you for elaborating on the implementation aspects of how the protocol is proceeding.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And the monitoring effects. We will be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. We're talking at the SADC Gender Protocol with Ms. Magdalene Matiba Madibela, head of the SADC Gender Unit. She's joining us on the line from Botswana. And Ms. Ntombi Imbadliana from Genderlinks South Africa. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion, we have talked through in terms of the formation of the SADC Gender Protocol. We've talked through the implementation aspects on the monitoring. Now I'd like us to talk about what we can expect as we move forwards. Part of the protocol indicates that on constitutional rights, the parties shall endeavor by 2015 to enshrine gender equality and equity into their constitutions. And Ms. Matiba Madibela, you had mentioned that we've already started to see progress in revisions of constitutions in Zambia and Zimbabwe. If you can just elaborate, A, in terms of how we're moving forwards in respect to constitutional revisions, so that they're more equitable, and B, what we can expect in terms of the rest of the articles in the protocol for further development on women.
Yes, basically because of our monitoring and evaluation and our ministers responsible for gender and women's affairs meet every year to review progress made in implementing the key provisions of the protocol. We have highlighted some of the successes already around constitutional and legal rights, around governance and so on, but there are so many other successes, particularly in the area of education, in the area of employment, and ensuring that women also have equal access to productive resources such as land. Member states are doing a lot in terms of reviewing their constitution, I mean their policies and their laws to ensure that there's equal access to economic productive resources. Now, the point is, as I said earlier on, SADC does not operate in isolation. And bearing in mind that the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development is a one-stop shop that encompasses other international and continental instruments, we are happy to say that at a point where our protocol speaks to quite a number of targets, 2015. In 2015, as you know, we are all working internationally towards Beijing plus 20.
So that'll start setting the direction in terms of where we need to move forwards to.
Oh, yes. I think the process will definitely inform itself. But we already know that under gender-based violence, for instance, we still have concerns. And definitely member states will sit down to agree as to what should be done, what should be strengthened to deal with that area. In the area of education, we have done a lot to ensure equal enrollment levels for boys and girls at both primary school level, secondary school. Member states are coming around very close to gender parity across board, but at university level, we have identified that girls are still more dominant in, you know, the so-called helping professions, nursing and teaching, and they're lacking and missing significantly in science and technology-related subjects. So we are consolidating information to see where the gaps are and where, as member states, we can actually now focus post-2015. And definitely now with emerging issues that we are faced with, there's an issue of climate change, which was not necessarily part of the protocol. We will be in a position to say climate change is affecting women adversely. Now we need to really review certain things and do them differently and see how we can engage on emerging issues such as climate change.
And in terms of climate change, I'm assuming that comes into play from an agricultural perspective.
But climate change is an issue that affects women the most. As we know, women are the custodians of our natural resources, and therefore they are first and also hardest hit in terms of climate change. So discussions around how to deal with it will definitely unfold accordingly.
One of the other areas that I found interesting was in terms of the implementation aspects of the protocol. Are you finding that more groups are joining the network? Because obviously the more people that we have involved within the networks, within the group structures, we will start to see greater implementation and being able to take aspects of the protocol to ground.
I think for us, some of the things that we've been noticing in terms of the alliance, it's become a bigger conversation than what we initially had anticipated, because, for instance, in our situation as Gender Links being based here in South Africa and in the region, we're finding that we work with local government, we work with media practitioners, we work with different stakeholders, and therefore they've also got other partners that they're working with. And one of the things that have come out strongly for us with where we currently are standing with the SADC gender protocol, areas need to be added. But what we have been finding is that we have been working with different stakeholders, and that's somehow made us have to expand the current sort of aspect or the things that the protocol are looking at the moment, like the issue of the climate change, like what Magdalene was highlighting. It is a global phenomenon, and we've had to now look at that because it's not addressed in the current protocol. So I think post-2015, those are some of the areas that we've had to look at and think about. How do we move and start addressing them and perhaps adding them onto the protocol or rectifying them or...
So looking at the protocol as an organic document,
yes,
which grows, which changes according to environmental needs.
Yes, exactly, because that's exactly what we're thinking about it. It's going to evolve. It's going to change.
That's right. And the most important thing also is to really reflect on where are the gaps and what are the gaps. You know, what were the strengths and what were the opportunities in the first phase of the implementation? You know, what kind of resources, both technical and financial, do we need to push the agenda forward? I think it will be such a lesson for all of us as we review its implementation in 2015, and both governments and civil society should be involved, because, I mean, this is a document that is really, really purposed to change the lives of women and girls you know, on the ground, and it has to really be informed by the concerns and the challenges of the real people. Post-2015 development agenda is very, very important for SADC, especially that it coincides with the review of quite a number of international and instruments. Our protocol review should really be informed by what the real gaps are, what the real weaknesses are, you know, what the opportunities are to push the agenda forward. And really, at the end of the day, we should go into the post-2015 development agenda with a very informed position to strengthen our efforts accordingly.
Oh, I think those are very apt words to close in terms of how we're going to be moving forwards into, well, post-2015 with the new developments with the SADC gender protocol. This has been such an interesting and enlightening conversation, and we've clearly only just touched the tip of the numerous points that are possible in the document. And it's great to see the evolutionary process that is being taken.
Yeah.
And we definitely have to have another discussion, I believe, in 2015,
yes,
when we see some of the new interventions that have come into play, and possibly when the next barometer has been released. In closing the discussion, if you could please give us some of your words of wisdom, hope, or advice which you'd like to pass on to women in the continent who are listening to the show.
I just want to say gender equality and women's empowerment continues to be a priority for SADC. All the efforts that we are doing at regional level and at national level should be targeted to improve and change the lives of women and girls positively. So let's be strong, let's collaborate, strengthen partnerships, and move the agenda forward collectively, because this is a mammoth task.
And Ms. Mbatliana, if you could give us your perspective.
We just have to look back where we've come from and just focus on the fact that we've come far and we've got a lot of way to go, but it's better than where we were before, and we're still moving forward.
Well, thank you very much for joining the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you. And just in ending the show, we have been talking SADC Gender Protocol with Ms. Magdalene Matiba Madibela, head of the SADC Gender Unit, and Ms. Ntombi Imbadliana from GenderLinks South Africa. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band.